Okay. Let's begin by taking your first growth in faith, growing a deep soul. The first verse here, Matthew 22, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. So, if you want to have a great soul, if you want to have a great heart, a great mind, then that's within the realm of each of us. And that's the kind of legacy the Lord wants us to leave behind. Having a great heart, a great mind, a great soul, a great love for Him. Mm-hmm. Okay, and we'll be talking about that this morning, how we cultivate that in our soul, because that very much has to do with our growing in faith. So again, first of all, spiritual growth is a process in which God and I each have a part. So God makes an invitation to us to start a relationship with Him and to make Him the Lord of our life. And then we respond to that invitation. So God's part is, we look at the fill in the earth, God's part is He invites us into the relationship. And my part is I respond to Him. So it's always, God is always doing that with us. He's always inviting, and we need to make a response to Him. And spiritual growth is dependent on us responding to His invitation. But He's always inviting. And I think that's something to keep in mind, is that today, as we hear God's words, we're worshiping, whether it be through the words that were spoken or it was through our own hearts, God is always inviting us, and He always calls forth a response for us, from us. And that always either begins the relationship, sustains it, deepens it, keeps it going, or impedes it, stops it, hinders it, whatever. But that's always what God is, His interactions with us. And the purpose is to grow a great heart, a great soul, a great mind to love Him with. Okay. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, on your outline, even before He made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in His eyes. This is God's heart for each of us, is that before anything was formed in the world, before the great oceans were formed, before the great stars, the great planets, before the great, you know, fish in the sea, before the great animals on the earth, God's heart was that He called us in love, and He chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault before His eyes. So God's thoughts were about you and me before ever there was a created world. So our relationship with Him is not plan B. It's the only plan He has. Okay.
Amen.
So if you're wondering, you know, do I have a purpose in life? What's my purpose? Where am I going with my life? That kind of thing. Then know that before the world was began, created world that is, He had you on His mind, and he was calling you, inviting you into a relationship with Him. That's plan. That's His plan. And that's the only plan He has. James chapter 1, verse 21 says, humbly welcome the word which is planted in you and can save your souls. So, even without thinking about it sometimes, we substitute a relationship with God in our life with other things. It could be entertainment, it could be relationships, it could be food, it could be... And many of those things are good things, okay? But what happens is that we take temporal things, thinking they will satisfy a relationship with the Lord. So we replace in our hearts the one relationship for which we were created for, before the world was made. And God wants to grow in us a great heart, a great mind, a great soul to love Him with. But sometimes we replace that with things in our heart that are temporal. They can be good things, but they are temporal. They don't have the ability to fulfill in us the very thing that God created us for, which is a relationship with Him, to have a great heart, a great mind, and a great soul. You know? So if you look at the underneath that, God's part is He is found. My part is I seek Him. So God's part is He's found, which means that we inquire of Him, we ask of Him, we seek Him, have an active pursuit of Him. And my part, in other words, God wants to be found by us. but he requires a heart that seeks him. And seeking means to inquire. It means to go after something. You know, it means to have an active pursuit of him. So we want to have a great heart, a great soul, a great mind. So we seek after him. We inquire after him to find that, to achieve, to get that in our life. In other words, we just don't go through the motions. Going through the motions won't give us the great heart, the great mind, the great soul, you know. Because God requires of us to be found by him. And what I mean by that is that he requires a heart that seeks him, that inquires of him. And that's not just like, if you've been away from him, then we kind of seek him. Now, it's not that only. You could have a close relationship with him. He still requires of us to pursue him in order to grow a deep soul, to have a great heart, a great mind, and a great soul. Jeremiah says it this way in your scripture passage, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord. Now, God was speaking this to a rebellious Israel that had walked away from him. And he was saying to them, guys, you seek after me with all your heart. That's the great heart, the great soul, the great mind. He says, you will find me, which means that you will come into the blessing, come into the relationship, come into the prosperity that I always envision for you. So, but sometimes we substitute that seeking, right? We do seek things in our life. Like some people seek approval in their life, and it's a constant drive in their hearts. And if some people seek to make a great name for themselves, that's a constant drive in their hearts. Some people seek to make themselves perfect in terms of how they look, or their clothing, or their clothes, or their physique, or whatever. You know, there's this drive in them to seek those areas. Again, nothing wrong with the areas. They're temporal. They never satisfy that for which we were created for, which is a relationship with the Lord, to have a great heart, a great soul, a great mind. That's what he created us for. Psalm 27 says it this way, my heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Mm. This is about a relationship we seek with the Lord. So if you want to have a great heart, a great soul, great mind, then you're going to need to find times in which you're unhurried and immersed in his word. Because when we hurry in life, we'll talk about some of the obstacles to this in a minute, then what happens is we don't spend the time seeking. We settle for the casual, the mundane, we settle for the going through the motions. So if you look at the next set of fill-ins here, God's part is he wants to teach me. My part is I need to learn. Or another way said, have a teachable spirit, a teachable heart. You can just jot this down for your own reference. John chapter 14, verse 26. Jesus says of the Holy Spirit, he says, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all the things I've said to you. So the Lord wants to teach us. The Holy Spirit, in fact, is given to us to teach us. He wants to reveal to us. And my part is to have and cultivate a teachable heart, a heart that knows I need to grow, I need to be taught, I need to learn. In other words, cultivate a heart that actively pursues wanting to be taught by him. Okay. Because the nature of the relationship, to grow a great heart, to grow a great mind, to grow a great soul, which we were created to do, it requires us to have a teachable heart. Okay. But God, on his part, wants to teach. That's his commitment to us. He's looking for a response on our part to him, which is, make my heart available to be taught by him. John chapter 16, verse 13, on your outlines here, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you to all truth. And Hebrews 5:14 says, solid food is for those who are mature, who train themselves to recognize the difference between right and wrong, and then do what is right. So again, we see there that a teachable heart is a heart that seeks to learn the Lord's ways, to be able to do what is right. Okay. So it's not. We're not talking here about the level of accumulating information or data. Okay, we're talking about the kind of heart that wants to be taught by Him, so we can grow a great soul, a great mind, a great heart, so that we can do what's right in His presence. Okay, next set of fill-ins here. God's part, then, is to bring good out of evil. My part is to endure. Or another way to say that is to be committed to Him. Romans 8, verse 28 says, we are well aware that God works with those who love Him, those who have been called in accordance with His purpose, and turns everything to their good. Now, the painful situations in our life that occur, the situations in our life that are, you know, difficult or challenging, he's like saying to us, I love you, and I want to take even the bad in your life and turn it around for you. That's his commitment to us. So he's committed to turning evil or bad in our life into good. My part is I need to be committed to Him, so He can do that. So I think that sometimes people hear this verse, you know, they say, you know, we go through a difficult situation. Well, the guy's going to fit into a pattern for the good. Very true. But they forget about the other part of that, which says those who love Him. So those who are committed to Him, those who are turned towards Him, those who are seeking Him. So if those who are turned to Him, those who are seeking Him, those who want to be taught by Him to do what's right, then He's able to take the horrendous situations in our life and turn it around for our good. Mm-hmm. But that part is oftentimes, we don't tell people that part. It's like, we forget to tell them that part, which it's a shame, because then they say, well, it didn't happen the way you're supposed to happen. Where's the good coming out of this? Well, the part is we need to turn to Him, you know, and seek Him, inquire of Him, be willing to be taught by Him and learn from Him, so we can grow a great heart, a great soul, a great mind, you know. Colossians 1, verse 11 says, we pray that you have the strength to stick it out over the long haul. Mm-hmm. Not the grim strength of gritting your teeth, but the glory strength God gives. It is strength that endures the endurable and spills over into joy. Okay, so my part is to be committed to seeking Him, to inquire of Him. Okay, so what happens when we stop growing? Take a look at Jeremiah 17, verses 5 through 6. This is what the Lord says. Cursed are those who put their trust in mere humans and turn their hearts away from the Lord. They are like stunted shrubs in the desert with no hope for the future. They will live in the barren wilderness or the salty flats where no one lives. Now, Jeremiah was calling, again, a rebellious Israel back to a covenant relationship with the Lord. And this is what, and because they were away from Him, this is what happened to them. They became barren, hopeless. They become stunted in their growth. The result was they were wandering. Okay. So, and that fill in there, what stunts our growth or stops our growth? I should say, what stops us from growing? We become stunted, and we become stunted because of lack of nourishment. So, the wandering of Israel is sin. And what Israel was doing was always tempted to look on the other side of the fence. They thought life was better on the other side of the fence. And when they looked on the other side of the fence, they began to wander. And they become stunted in their growth. They became hopeless. They become barren. No nourishment for them. And they began wandering, which is the condition of the soul steeped in sin. So what stunts our growth then is when we stop growing, and what stunts our growth in that is the fact that we're not nourished. So, I mean, that's pretty obvious in life. We stop nourishing our bodies, we start to deteriorate. A baby doesn't get nourishment, it dies, you know. starvation and famine is basically rooted in the fact that people aren't being nourished properly, you know, physically, that is. We know that when a baby is not cared for emotionally and even physically, I mean, they can die, you know, because they're not being nourished in a physical way that extends to their emotions, you know. So nourishment's really important to growth, okay. Okay, so now what happens when I dare to grow a deep soul? Okay? Jeremiah 17, verse 7 and 8 says, "But blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence. They're like trees planted along a riverbank with roots that reach deep into the water. Such trees are not bothered by the heat or worried by long months of drought. Their leaves stay green and they go right on producing delicious fruit." So what happens when I dare to grow a deep soul? Fill in the blank there. It's I prosper, I excel in all things. And that word prosperity, by the way, is a biblical word that means excel in all areas. So a lot of times prosperity is thought of in the American culture as being, you know, a couple houses, a couple big cars, and these expensive cars and big bank accounts. That's the biblical understanding of prosperity, is to excel and to do well in all the areas of our life. So here we see Jeremiah saying that when I grow a deep soul, the fruit of it is I grow in hope and confidence in the Lord. My life becomes fruitful. I grow in trust of Him. If you have your Bibles, just turn to Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. You were talking about the fruitfulness of the soul, and it's kind of like this, what Paul says in Galatians mirrors what Jeremiah is promising is the result of a growing a deep soul. Galatians 5, verse 22 and 23. Okay, verse 22, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law." I'll read that again, verse 22. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law." This is what Paul means by walking in the Spirit, living in the Spirit. What Jeremiah called the soul that he describes here stays green, produces delicious fruit, you know, is not bothered by the heat or worry, you know, no drought in the soul, grows in confidence and trust in the Lord. The soul that grows in confidence and trust in the Lord is the soul that produces these fruits of the Spirit in their life. It's all part of it. Philippians chapter 1, verse 11 on your outline. "Bountiful in fruits from the soul, making Jesus Christ attractive to all, getting everyone involved in glory and praise of God." That's the promise that Paul says to the soul who is growing and being nourished by the Lord, is they become attractive to all. They make Jesus Christ attractive to all, but they become attractive as well. Meaning, by attractive means that there's a favor, there's a prosperity upon their life that makes it them attractive, and through that, they introduce others to Christ. So growing a great soul, a deep soul, that loves, that has a great heart to love God, a great mind to love God, you know, is a soul that produces the fruit of the Spirit in such a way that makes Jesus attractive, but they become attractive too. So. Okay. And Philippians 1, verse 6 from the Amplified Bible, "I'm convinced and sure of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will continue into the day of Jesus Christ, right up into the time of his return, developing that good work and perfecting and bringing it to full completion in you." I think we can say that God has begun a good work in you. He's given you the gift of his Holy Spirit. He's brought you to his Son. So, in other words, he is committed to producing good fruit, the fruit of the Spirit in your life. He's committed to that. So he wants the leaves of your life to be delicious and green. Or another way of saying it, he wants you to have a lot of fruit on your tree. Okay? A lot of good fruit on your tree. But how do you get that? By planting deep roots in him so he can grow the fruit. When there's no fruit, it's because the roots are not deep. So we need to grow a deep soul in order to produce good fruit in our life. God has designed us and planned us to have a deep soul so we can have a great love of him, a great heart that loves him, a great mind that loves him. And to do that, we need to plant deep roots in our life.
Our soul has to line up with our spirit.
Say that. Actually, we're using soul and spirit in both the same sense.
Oh, really?
Yeah, not dividing it out. So I'm thinking, the anthropology I'm thinking of is for body, soul.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's what I'm thinking. Right. So our faith, then, is very much contingent on growing a deep soul, because we were created to have a great heart that loves God, a great mind that loves him. So. Well, if you grow a deep soul in your life, it's going to influence your, you'll grow a great mind, a great heart. Okay, so spiritual growth is a process, then, if you talked about at the very beginning. God is always inviting. He's always looking for a response on my part. So he wants me to seek him. He wants me to have a teachable heart, right? And he wants me to be committed to him to bring out growth in me no matter what the circumstances are. Because he can make good or evil turned into good as long as I'm committed to him in that. And the fruit of that is, or I say the result of that, is a deep soul that grows in confidence in him and trust of him that produces the fruits of the Spirit in our life. Okay. So
that's God's guarantee. You're going to get good fruit.
Yeah.
You'll produce good fruit. You're going to get it.
That's right. That's he's committed to producing good fruit in us, right? So if you look at the page that says Talk It Over, you have a series of statements with some questions to it, particularly like 1, 2, 3. So get as far as you can with it, you know. And for your own personal reflection during the month, if you look at the diving deeper, okay? So when we're daring to love, we have daring faith to love and trust God in bad times, how does it give glory to God? So it's some things to think about during the course of the week or the month. Okay, why don't we break into small groups, if we would, and we'll take maybe about, I figure we'll take up to 11:30, and then maybe we'll come back and just share some of your thoughts, and then we'll break into lunch about 11:45.